Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
We've talked about our need for the Holy Spirit, and how that if Jesus needed him, we most certainly need him in our lives. Need him to accomplish the purpose that God has for us. We looked at his transforming power and how that he could take that which is dead and make it alive. That which seems like it can never change, he can change it. He could change you and I from what we used to be to what he has for us to be. He can wipe away the scars of the past and wipe away actions and habits and things that have controlled us and manipulated us. And he can wipe those things away in an instant. The Holy Spirit could set us free, transform our lives. Amen. And we also looked at that when the Holy Spirit moves, when he works in our lives to transform us, when he performs miracles with healing, and when the manifestation gifts take place that are to be done for the edification of the body and to bring glory to the Father. Amen. So that's the foundation for this series on the Holy Spirit, is to recognize we need him, to recognize his transforming power, to take us from where we are to where God wants us to be, and to recognize that whenever he operates in us, in the body of Christ, it is to bring glory to God, to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want you to open with me now to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the last half of Acts chapter 2. And this last few verses are kind of broken up, and I'm going to talk about two separate points here. But overarching point is this, that there are identifiable marks on a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, saturated by the Holy Spirit, that are obvious to the world and obvious to the people around us, right? There are certain marks. There are certain things that are going to be there no matter what. And if they are missing, then the Holy Spirit is not being allowed to operate in the way that he wants to operate, usually going to the individual, meaning the individuals within that church are not allowing him to operate, to transform, are not being obedient to him, are not being led by him, are not saturated by him, and are not cultivating a relationship with him to be led, to be guided, to be directed, ultimately to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Okay? And so as we go through these verses today, I want you to look at your life. I want you to look at this church, and I want you to start to see what is missing, what needs to be there. And the challenge to you and I is what can I do? What can you do? What is missing that I can do to help start to manifest these items in the life of the church? Because they should be evident in every Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit guided, led church. None of them should be missing. So Acts chapter 2, let's look verse 42. So the day of Pentecost has happened. 3,000 have been saved. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from the house to house, They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So verse 42. Verse 42 lines out some very clear evidences of a church that's been saturated by the power of the Holy Spirit and who is operating through the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if you have a marker or a highlighter or a pen, let's look at these four specific things in verse 42. He says, and they could continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. A Holy Spirit-led, a Holy Spirit-saturated church will be hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
A Holy Spirit-saturated church will want more and more and more and more of God's Word. A Holy Spirit-saturated person will want to be filled with God's Word. Read it. Meditate on it. Hear as many messages from as many places as can. Be taught by teachers, right? They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, meaning that every time Peter got up to preach, even if they'd heard the message 15 times, they were there the next Sunday to hear the same message again. Right? You hear what I'm saying? They weren't having to come up with really cool ways to engage people through object lessons. They weren't having to be all charismatic and try to, woo people with their eloquence of speech. The Holy Spirit was present. The people were hungry, and they were seeking it steadfastly. So if you and I are not hungry for the Word of God, and when I talk about hungry, I'm not talking about a YouTube video here and there, and I'm not talking about showing up on Sundays once a week, hearing me blabber on for 45 minutes. I'm talking about a hunger to read God's Word, to study God's Word, a desire that causes you to give up other things in your life to make sure that you have time to intake, meditate upon, and learn from God's Word.
Amen.
If we are not doing that, then that means we are not saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will drive us from the inside to want to study God's Word.
Amen.
To want us to look at God's Word, to take as much as we can. I've been in church since I was 5 years old. I've been studying God's Word really earnestly since I was about 21 or 22. So of 20 years almost. I learn something new all the time. Now, I know that's cliche, because you'll hear people say, oh, I've been saved for 60 years, and every time I open up the Bible, God reveals something new. No, you just forgot part of it. Anyway, I'm sorry. But the truth is, if you really are seeking God, you can open up somewhere you have read 100 times, and the Holy Spirit, if you are hungry, He can give you something new to apply to your life, to a specific situation. But you've got to be hungry for it. I have got to be hungry for it. If I'm not hungry for it, then that is an evidence that something's missing in my life. And if I'm always making excuses to not be in God's house, or making excuses to not study His Word, if there are opportunities to study His Word being given, and I'm deciding and finding every possible excuse not to be there to be taught or to be ministered to in God's Word, then I've got to ask myself, am I saturated by God? Am I saturated by the Holy Spirit? That's cold, hard questions that you and I have to ask ourselves. If we're making excuses not to be in God's presence, not to be taught by who God has gifted to teach, not to take every opportunity that's made available to us to be able to learn the apostles' doctrine, God's Word, then maybe there's a problem that starts here. Maybe I'm simply not hungry enough.
Amen.
Right? Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word. You want to walk by the Spirit? The Holy Spirit makes us hungry for God's word so that it can be applicable to our lives whenever we need it.
Amen.
So that someday when you are called to give a defense, you don't have to worry and write a 3-page outline. Why? Because when that time comes, the Bible says he will give you the words to say. But you got to have his words in your heart. If they are not there, they cannot be used. And I know I'm harping, but I want you and I to understand that if we are making excuses not to study God's word when the opportunity is available to us, then the question is not the pastor's teaching or the teacher's teaching. The question is, what's wrong with me?
Amen.
We need to be hungry.
Amen.
For God's word. So they were hungry for the apostles' doctrine. And what's the next thing? Fellowship. That means they were studying God's word together. Now look, you need to be studying God's word by yourself. I do. Need to be doing it. But there's something to be said to studying God's word together. See, we're selfish. We sit there and say, well, what do I'm going to get out of it? But there is something special about studying God's word with other believers in Christ.
Amen.
There's something special about reasoning in the word of God. When I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about me preaching and it's a one-way conversation on Sunday morning. I'm talking about teaching, where you gather together and you open up the Bible and you have someone teaching, but then also is encouraging discussion and conversation, who's encouraging people's input, right? Because what God has revealed to Jeanette, maybe Tanya hasn't seen yet. And now they're feeding each other, vice versa, right? They're starting to live and feed each other, right? That fellowship. See, we deny the fellowship. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly together of yourself, but we forsake it. I'm tired. I'm working. I've got kids. I've got blah, 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 blah. I'm guilty too. But the truth of the matter is, we are not to put those things in front of a hunger for God's word and a desire to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
We got to be hungry. There's something to be said in being with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And if I think I'm the solo guy who doesn't need to be around those people, then I need to look inside myself and say, maybe I'm missing something.
Amen.
If I'm the guy that says, I've learned all I need to learn. I've been in the church for 25 years, and I've been doing X, Y, and Z since I was 10, and blah, 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 and I don't need these people. They're lucky I'm here, blah, blah. Well, there's a problem right here. I've been teaching Sunday school since I was 13 years old. Guess what? I still have to pull up podcasts and listen to people because I'm trying to feed myself. Because guess what? I ain't the be all end all.
That's right.
Right? I am not even close to having a full understanding of God's word. Just one book, let alone the all 66 of them. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain to us this morning is we need to see the importance of his word and the importance of fellowship one with another. And if those things are being forsaken, then the Holy Spirit is not operating the way he wants to operate.
That's right.
If things are not changing, if the atmosphere is not changing, if things are not moving, if people aren't being changed, if the church isn't growing, then it starts with the Holy Spirit not being in control. And it's not that he's not in control of the pastor. It's that he's not in control of the pastor and you.
Amen.
Right? We like to blame the pastor. Well, if the pastor fasted more, the teacher fasted more, the blah, blah. Well, why don't you let it start with you? Let it start with me.
Amen.
Right? Let me take some personal responsibility because I should be hungry.
Amen.
And when I'm hungry, I make somebody else hungry. Right?
Amen.
When I'm hungry, I start, someone else thinks, well, you know, I like where their attitude's better. They've been a different person. Let me see. Let me get hungry too. Right? It's like, you go and someone brings a delicious cheeseburger. All of a sudden, they bring that cheeseburger in, and it's just delicious and golden, and it's flame broiled, and it's got all the toppings you love on it, and you weren't even hungry until it showed up in front of them.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And all of a sudden, you want a bite, and you're slobbering, and you're drooling, and you're like, man, I wish you'd just give me a bite of that cheeseburger. I didn't even know I was hungry, but there, That's how it is. When you got somebody that's filled with the Spirit, somebody who's hungry for God's word, somebody who's willing to put themselves out there in fellowship with others, believers, you begin to make others hungry. So one person can make a difference.
Right.
One person can influence others to be hungry. We are not to forsake God's word or gathering together, right? He also goes on to say, look, and breaking of bread. Do you see a trend that's happening here?
Yeah.
God's word, fellowship, breaking bread together. Where there's no unity, the Holy Spirit cannot move. When I think that I am solo man, can do it all on my own and don't need nobody else, the Holy Spirit can't move in that. When you have leaders who think they have a rod and that they're all set up and they don't need to be around other people, the Holy Spirit can't move. When you got people sitting on the chair who think, my goodness, they're blessed I'm here, right? They don't really want to be there. It shows all over their face. They're out of obligation. The Holy Spirit can't move in that.
Right.
We're to fellowship, break bread one with another.
Amen.
Love each other, you know? Want to be together.
Amen.
Look, I'm not a people person. I'm not going to lie to you. For years, I'm that guy that put not welcome on the welcome. Well, you know what I'm saying in front of my house? Just stay away. Leave me alone. I've got my family. That's all I need. But God changed me about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where now I do want to be around people, and I do enjoy being in fellowship with other folks that aren't just my family members. My neighbors didn't know what to do. We have neighbors on one side I didn't speak to for 6 years. One day I started talking to them, they didn't know what to do. What happened to him? He drunk? Seriously. What? Look, he didn't even wave at us, and now all of a sudden he's having a conversation or asking us how our day is going. Do you see what I'm saying? Our desire to love and fellowship one with another, to be in each other's presence, that is a fingerprint of the Holy Spirit on our lives. That's how you know he's there.
Amen.
Right? When you have a cat burglar comes in, someone's robbing a place, what's the first thing they do? They take the fingerprint to see if they've been there. Well, guess what? God looks at the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit on his body and the Holy Spirit on our lives to see if he's been there or not.
Man.
There will be obvious signs. There will be a unique fingerprint that belongs to the Holy Spirit upon our lives and upon God's church when he is active and saturated and being followed, being allowed to lead and direct.
Amen.
Challenging message for me this morning is God's fingerprint, is the Holy Spirit's fingerprint on my life. Is it there? Do I reflect these things? Or am I not fellowshipping? Am I not hungry for his word? Am I not willing to make the sacrifice to come out and to study and to be with others? Am I trying to make it all about me and my needs and all about me and what I want? All about me. Because it's not about all about me. It's about him. And if I'm in tune with him, then he gives me a love and a desire to be in tune with my brothers and sisters in Christ. See, what makes you my sister and my brother is the Holy Spirit inside of me. See, that's the adoption paperwork. Right? That's the seal that says I'm adopted.
Amen.
Right? So now you and I, like it or not, for better or for worse, we're related spiritually. Meaning we should have a relationship with each other. When I was growing up in church, adults were brother and sister so-and-so. I am still, I still do that. Sister Tanya, Sister Cheryl, right? I still do that. It's from growing up. It was a term of respect, but it was a term of endearment. Because it reminded you when you said it that you were related to them spiritually. Right? Yeah, connected. We don't do that as much anymore because we're not connected.
Right, that's right.
Right? We don't even like our own family, let alone some other person at church. Right? And trust me, I was reminded of that yesterday when they were still at my house at 10 o'clock last night. That's probably me cooked that. Leave me alone. But you know what I'm saying? Fellowship. being one with another, loving each other. That's why they can have all things in common, because they loved each other. Because when Tanya was hurting, I was hurting. When Jane was hurting, Kelly was hurting. Because they had that connection. They recognized their family. We're family. When I look out into this body and I see people that are not here, it doesn't hurt me because there's not butts in the seats. It hurts me because what's wrong? Why are they not here? They're missing out. That's the truth. From a spiritual standpoint, it doesn't hurt me to look back there and see that the seat is empty. It hurts me to know that they're not having an opportunity to hear what God says and what's going on in their life, that they're not able to be here.
Right.
That's the truth. That's how we see each other. Not, well, look at their spotty attendance record. They're here twice a month. Well, how about you look at what's causing them to be here twice a month? Maybe we should be praying for that person, and when they're here, give them an extra hug, an extra handshake, let them know how much we love them.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. That is a fingerprint of the Holy Spirit. We are to love our neighbors, love those who are in the body of Christ. If we don't have love, then God's love is not in us.
Amen.
That's what it says in 1 John. All right, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, and in prayers, they're talking about making sure you're praying at home, right? Making sure that you are spending time alone with God. But you'll notice in this verse that there's a pattern. It's about corporate things happening together. Corporate doctrine, corporate fellowship, corporate breaking of bread, corporate prayers.
Yes.
There is power when we are together. Jesus wasn't messing around when he said, when two or more gather in my name, I am in the midst.
Amen.
When two or more agree in touching something, it'll be given to them. He said that on purpose. And the purpose was, there is power in corporate prayer.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. There's power for us to be together. Right? Now, when I was a kid, corporate prayer really turned into a gossip session, because you have 45 minutes of the hour giving prayer requests about someone else's needs on the other side of town. You weren't prayer requesting, you was just letting everybody know what was going on, right? I can tell you on Wednesday nights, we don't prayer request. We come in and we pray.
Amen.
Right? There's a special in corporate prayer. There's special gathering in someone's house. Going with other people, meeting in their home and praying together. It doesn't have to be in the church, but it helps. It's encouraged to be with other saints.
Amen.
Right? Praying with it. Guess what? Praying with someone over a YouTube video isn't the same as praying with your sister or brother next door. Or praying with them on TVN or whatever it is, right? BTL. Ain't the same as having flesh and blood next to you when they're praying for your needs specifically. It's not the same. Thank you for praying, brother so-and-so, on your cast that was recorded 3 days ago. I appreciate that. This person knows what I'm facing right now and can pray specifically for me, and vice versa. Right? There's prayer. And if that's not happening, then that means the Holy Spirit's fingerprint is missing.
Right.
If these four things are missing from our lives and from the body, it means the Holy Spirit is not being allowed to lead, guide, and direct the way that the Bible commands. The church exploded because of the Holy Spirit, who transformed the lives of selfish people to people who were selfless.
Right.
That's why it exploded. It wasn't always about them. It was about those around them. That's why they were studying together, fellowshipping together, eating one with another, and praying together. Because it wasn't about them only. It was about the body, the community around them. Without community, the church is not the church. Without fellowship, the church is not the church. It's a building of individuals that doesn't even deserve to keep the lights on.
Right. Amen.
Right? You want to be a part of something that's just people showing up? Join the Lions Club. Right, join somebody else down the street. There's a building down the street here where the Lions Club. club, go join them. Actually, sometimes they have more fellowship and camaraderie than the body of Christ does. The truth is, they're probably more likely to go to a movie. But people have more in common with the stranger sitting next to them at a movie than they do with the people that are in church on Sunday. Church is about community.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit transforms us from selfish and self-centered to selfless and outward focused. And if that is not happening, then something is wrong right here.
Amen.
And I've got to say, God, saturate me.
Right.
Let your fingerprint be evident on me. Holy Spirit, let it be obvious that I belong to you. Let it be obvious that I'm led by you. Let it be obvious that I'm directed by you. Let it be obvious that I love the way that you love. Let it be obvious. Let men see that you are in me.
Amen.
Amen. And it'll be reflected in our actions. But how can we expect it to lead the world to Christ when we don't even love one another? When we don't even fellowship one with another. When we don't even take time to be with each other. That's why a church will never grow if there is division and unity and backbiting.
Amen.
In a church.
Amen.
It won't grow. It can't grow. It can't grow if we're angry at somebody all the time. If we're always wondering with ulterior motives what they're doing.
Amen.
Refusing to love on them because of something we believe that they did or something that they said that we didn't agree with. Come on.
You're right.
The church won't grow. The Holy Spirit cannot work in that. He needs us to be led by Him. And when we are led by Him, we will demonstrate a hunger for those things.
Yes.
To want to be there. Right? I'm going to tell a story. When we first started this church, we invited a family over. And the first thing they asked me once dinner was over was, what did we do wrong? Which I thought was quite funny because I thought that we weren't there to just have dinner and talk with each other. It was that pastor had something they wanted to talk to them about, right? Don't we all kind of have that attitude? What did I do wrong? What's the catch? What's the alternative motive, the ulterior motive of having them over or fellowshipping with them all of a sudden, right? I'm sure my neighbor thought I was trying to get him to, shovel my driveway the next time it snowed. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the ulterior motive, right? But then that comes on us to say maybe there isn't an ulterior motive. Maybe they're just reaching out because they feel led by the Holy Spirit to reach out. And that's why I encourage you, if someone wants to fellowship with you, fellowship with them. Isolated, they're by themselves, and ultimately they lose their way. That is the truth, right? Even a pastor needs somebody that they can love on, that can be loved by, to fellowship with.
That's right.
Right?
You're right.
I long for that. I need someone that I can talk to, someone that's going to love on me, appreciate me, just like you do. But when that's missing, people are isolated and they make bad choices and they make bad mistakes.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And if you and I have an opportunity to reach that person before the mistake is made and the Holy Spirit lays it on our heart, but we refuse to do it for whatever reason, we're going to be held accountable. God wants to use us. We're being led and listen. Devil's never going to tell you to help somebody.
Exactly. That's right.
Right? He ain't going to tell you to go pat someone on the back and tell them Jesus loves them.
Exactly.
Or I was thinking, or give them a card out on the table that says, "Hey, I was thinking about you this week." He don't like encouragement. He's the opposite of courage. He's all about, that person looked at me wrong, so I'm not going to give them a card this week. Right?
Yep.
He's not going to encourage us to reach out in love. So if you feel led to reach out and love somebody, reach out and love them.
Amen.
I'm not saying become best friends. I'm just saying love them in Christ.
That's right.
right? Love each other in Christ.
That's right.
Be there for one another in Christ. And if it's missing, it means the Holy Spirit is not being allowed to operate in the lives of those who are in the church.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.